Inspección General en los diferentes...
In other news, police are still on the lookout for a gang suspected of trafficking people across the globe in suitcases.
What is the world coming to? I'll just get this out of here. Boom! Oh, Sarah, what are you doing in there?
Are we there yet?
What?
Oh, if you don't mind, I thought I'd go with you. Secretly on your holiday. To save me some pennies. I saw you had your cases packed. I know we talked about going to the Austin Film Festival and how I couldn't go because I'm a poor podcaster. And I thought maybe she's going anyway and didn't want to say because, you know, reasons.
No,
it took me ages to fold myself into this old suitcase of yours. Huh. Oh, it's a bit smelly. It says on your labels that you're going to Austin's Manor on your suitcases. So I got in this one and labelled it myself.
Austin's House, America. Fragile... Sarah.
We're not even through customs yet.
No. You're in my boot. Trunk.
We're not even out of the car. Oh, if you can just pop me through security, I promise I'll just be on my way.
Where to?
Austin's House, of course. Yeah, I've got snacks for the plane.
Austin Beach?
Yeah, Austin's House for his Austin Film Festival. It looks awesome. He's so clever having his own film festival.
Film Festival.
Film Festival.
Oh, the Austin Film Festival. No, Sarah, Austin's...
Oh, quick, set me up again. I think I hear the sniffer dogs coming and I'm allergic to dogs.
Oh, I'm going to Devon, Sarah. Austin Country Manor House for a week. This is the dump. I'm dumping this smelly old suitcase. I'm not going to the... Sarah, can you hear me? You know what? I'll just leave you there for a bit.
Hands up, Miss Braille. You're under arrest in connection with the suitcase laundering racket. Anything you say...
Oh, good Lord.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Fiona.
And today we are very excited to present a lovely interview that we did with Barbara Morgan, the executive director of the Austin Film Festival in Texas.
Yay! Brilliant. Woo. Yay. And that film festival is just coming up now. So if you haven't booked yet and you can get to Texas, please, please do. It's October the 26th to November the 2nd.
Yes.
So go along.
And there are so many amazingly exciting things you can do there.
And please note that although they've called it the Austin Film Festival, there is a fiction podcast section to it. And in fact, there's a fiction podcast script competition.
There is.
Sadly, the deadlines have gone for this year, but submissions are open from April to July. So if you fancy going in for it for next year, this is an excellent opportunity to cross-pollinate those film goers with those who might start listening to podcasts.
Now, we have some absolutely lovely news about Philip Thorne, haven't we, regarding that that competition.
Philip's podcast, The Amelia Project, has gone on to the next round, so congratulations to everybody involved in that.
Yes, so it's in the semi-finals, actually, of the script competition. So, yeah, by the time you hear this, maybe even be in the final. So, yeah, good wishes. Good luck, Philip. But, yeah, and I think, you know, those of you that have been to a film festival before, and I've been to a couple in Britain. I went to Edinburgh and a few things run by the BFI, and there's always a really good buzz about them. And I think, you know, you're not just learning by watching people's work, but people are dissecting and think in different ways. And from what Barbara says in the interview, you'll fathom that there are quite a few workshops that some of you would, I think, find really, really useful to help you in your creative endeavours.
Because there is quite a crossover. Really, isn't there? I mean, I know obviously audio drama does have certain, I don't want to call them limitations, it has certain features, doesn't it?
Certainly does, as do we all.
But there is also a great deal of crossover because it's storytelling, it's just a different medium. So
yes.
I think there'll be a lot there that is really, really useful for audio writers.
And the further details can be got from the website, and we'll put all the links that you need to know from the interview on the show notes.
Yep.
So yes, there's lots to delve into, and I don't think we need to say any more other than what you hopefully glean from the interviews.
Hello there, and we are absolutely delighted today to have Barbara Morgan, the Executive Director of the Austin Film Festival, here with us today. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, we're very well. We're very excited to speak
to you.
So can you tell us a little bit about the Austin Film Festival that you're involved in?
Thank you all for having me on. The Austin Film Festival started 24 years ago. We started out as a festival that honored the screenwriter, which was the first festival that actually did that. You know, most festivals are honoring independent film or mm-hmm. directors or actors, but we actually honored the writer. Mm-hmm. And we started a screenplay competition to start that off. Mm-hmm. And that just sort of kicked us out there into the festival world for sure, because the first year, the winning script, which was written by a woman, by the way, went on. Yeah, it was like when, in fact, all the winners that first year were women, mm-hmm. and they were read anonymously, so nobody knew, you know, whether they were male or female writers. Mm-hmm. And it got bought at the festival by Columbia Pictures and made subsequently about a year or two later,
wow.
with Alicia Silverstone and Benicio del Toro, and so that kind of put us on the map.
You're talking there about female writers. Do you find that you do have more women coming to the festival? Or do you not know numbers, I guess, if you're obviously reading them blind?
Oh, no, we do know the numbers. I mean, we know who they are, but we send them out to be read by readers anonymously, so nobody knows when they're reading a script who wrote it. But we do know, and it's about 40% of the writers submitting to the competition are women. And year we had about 40 to 45% of the people who came to speak at the writers conference were women as well, and we've just made a really serious commitment to diversity the last couple of years. Just obviously it's a topic everybody's talking about, but the reality is plenty of great writers who are women. It shouldn't make any difference what your genetics are, you
for
know
sure.
So we've been seeing for years that women were reaching those levels in the competition. So it is a little, you know, surprising that so few are actually working screenwriters.
And what an exciting thing to have that then have some progression to actually be, you know, fruitful and made. I think that's such an exciting opportunity. And with regards to obviously our field of expertise, you also do a podcast script competition, an audio competition. So can you tell us why you've kind of wanted to include that in your canon of expertise?
Well, I mean, the reality is we look at ourselves, especially since television about 10 years ago became a big part of what we do, really more like 15 years ago. Screenwriters were working in television too before television became kind of a sexy place to be. It used to be somewhere that people didn't want to be in. It was like you wanted to be a filmmaker, but you didn't really want to be a TV writer. And in fact, you know, the world changed, and now we have an awful lot of television writers coming in and creators, along with those independent writers and the studio writers. And that's because there's just opportunity. That's where writers can get a job. So we started focusing on that. And then we launched playwriting last year, largely because a lot of playwrights go into television and film.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
thought, it's all storytelling. You know, it's just, we're a storytellers festival. That's how we looked at ourselves. And then we realized, why are we going to limit it? And we've delved into playwriting, and then this year podcasting, because so much of that world is really about the written word.
Mm-hmm.
And why not honor that as well? And now, of course, some of those major podcasts are turning into TV shows and films mm-hmm. and plays. So it's kind of full circle.
It is. Our listeners were very excited about the whole prospect of having audio drama within that film festival. And some of them also, they were intrigued because for that particular competition, then the scripts are limited to 30 pages and a series. Some of our listeners also do one-offs that are more than 60 pages and so on. In the future, are you planning to extend the audio part as we gradually invade into the film side?
Yeah, we likely will. I mean, you know, what we're trying to do is find our footing in it too. And, you know, when we started the screenplay competition, we had two categories, and now there's TV and film competitions. We get 10,000 scripts and television scripts. Mm. We've adjusted those categories based on what the market was looking for, what people were doing. Mm. So I'm sure as we delve into the world of fiction podcasts, that we will in fact be adjusting it to what people are doing. And the reality is, you know, great stories are great stories. They can be adjusted. If you're writing this story for a radio broadcast that's an hour long, you know, could you expand that story to fit into the film world? Probably you could, you know. Mm-hmm. So the structures of them are less important to us. You know, we're not going to knock somebody out because they're 5 pages longer or shorter than what the rules are.
Yeah, brilliant. And do you listen to podcasts yourself? Have you got a storytelling
view
that you do? Yeah, yeah.
I do. But that's not, you know, it's funny. I didn't really listen to them until we started a podcast of our own that came out of our TV and radio show, mm-hmm. called On Story, which is really content from the festival each year. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of was my entry into it. And it was really from a nonfiction podcasting side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, only in the last year or so have I really started to kind of figure out what's out there with fiction podcasting. Mm-hmm. And the sheer amount of great content is astounding.
Cool. I think you've mentioned before that audio drama can be a bit of a new frontier for writers. Do you think it is becoming more popular in terms of writers, I don't know, starting out, or do they move into it after doing film and TV, do you think?
You know, I don't know. And we're so new to the world that we're trying to figure out who's out there and what they are writing. And we're also trying to encourage people that are writing for film and television, trying to break in that way, mm. to look at podcasting as a way to break in themselves. You know, if you've got a great story, figure out the way you can tell it and get it to people, create your own audience. You know, that's kind of how we look at it. You know, it's funny because the very first year we had this Cinderella story. You know, we had a woman who was a housewife and in Salt Lake City, and she submitted this action script, and women, quote, don't write action movies, and and she won, and all of a sudden she became a working screenwriter, and she's out there in the system now writing movies, and she moves to Hollywood, and that is a Cinderella story, and we never expected to have that kind of success that first year. What I learned from that was that you can't wait for a Cinderella story. You know, if you're a storyteller, you just have to put your stories out there. And I think for people who are kind of in the world of writing these radio dramas and fiction podcasts, that's one way to tell your story, but don't wait around, you know, like do it, go out there and write your story and put it out there in as many places as you can to try to get people to pay attention to you. You need to be seen or heard from, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what people should do. And, you know, what we're kind of trying to say with this right now is don't get constrained by the box you've put yourself in.
Yeah.
You know, take your story and see what wall you can throw it up against, and maybe it'll stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you look at Homecoming, you know, those guys were screenwriters, they were writers, they were filmmakers. They're about to have their show on television.
Yeah.
So that's so cool.
Oh, amazing. And regards to the actual festival itself, what kind of opportunities are there for writers to get involved in storytelling and writing? Are there workshops and events they can attend?
Yeah, the festival's in October. I think this year we start on October 26th. And mm-hmm. the first 4 days of, it's an 8-day festival, but the first four are the conference. And we have 200 panels. It's no VIP stuff. I mean, it's everybody gets to come in and be in the panels and ask questions. And we put all the panelists, you know, they're all working writers. They're all writers, producers, agents, people who are actually working in the industry doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we do everything from one-on-one sessions, workshops, pitch sessions. And what we're doing for podcasting this year is we're going to have a podcast track. Just like we have a playwriting track. We're going to have a podcast track. And so people can go to those panels that will talk about what's going on in the industry and how to get involved and how to do it. Yep. And then they can also go to other panels that are really for screenwriters and TV writers. And a lot of the same advice that they'll find on those panels applies to that craft. I mean, it's just how to tell a great story. You know, and a lot of these screenwriters we bring in, they're also novelists and screenwriters and television writers. And so we have literally, you know, from that medium, all kinds of writers. And we're really a place where people can share and even more importantly, network and meet people that might help them find an avenue to get what they're hoping to out of a career in some kind of media storytelling.
Sounds awesome. What, can we get a plane over now and come and join you now?
Yeah.
Exactly. It really does. Yeah. For anyone who's nearby or who can get a plane over there, because a lot of our listeners, just as you say, they are writing in various media, aren't they? And obviously they all have a love for audio, but they, again, like you say, so many of the skills cross over anyway, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, we actually have a lot of people who attend from England and New Zealand and Australia. I mean, obviously, English speaking is our greatest place, Ireland. We have a lot of people who come over from all those countries. And it really is, you know, it's funny that some of it is really the camaraderie. Here they get to share their ideas and there's a big creative spirit. We get compared a lot to summer camp for writers.
And obviously you said, you know, when you started out, it was a bit smaller with just smaller amounts of categories for things. Your executive director, has your job changed as more people have come and it has become such a huge festival?
Yeah, it actually has. I get to do, you know, a little sadly, I get to do less creative roles with things like the screenplay and film competitions that we have because the teams of people are so big for that. And because honestly, just our size means I have to spend more time doing administrative things. But I still get to read scripts and watch films. We have our TV and radio show now, and that also puts me back somewhat in that creative role.
And you describe audio drama podcasts as a revival of the radio play days, but with a new streamable twist. I think that's an awesome description. I mean, do you think that has made things so much more accessible and perhaps encourage more people to get involved in writing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm kind of an old lady. So as a person who used to listen to radio dramas, I was kind of obsessed with them when I was a kid. Yeah, I used to listen to all those old mystery shows that were from the 40s and 50s and trying to think of names of them now. And I used to listen to the comedy shows. I loved the comedy shows they would have on that were, you know, like the Laurel and Hardy-esque comedy ones. And I'm trying to remember names now, but I used to actually buy the cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, I think it's funny that we've come full circle now because you guys have probably talked to Fabs. Fabs is from England. And she was just like, well, this is just radio. These are these radio plays that are still big in England. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're gone here, sadly, but they used to be really popular. And a lot of the people that actually went on to big TV careers in the early days of television came out of the radio play world. So you know, now podcasting, I mean, when I listen to some of those podcasts I listen to now, they're no different. I mean, it's just you're listening to it on a different device, mm-hmm. but it's the same thing,
yeah.
You know? And so... So kind of calling it a different name is a cheat, I guess, in a little bit. But the thing that's cool is that people have found their way back to them because I started playing them for my daughter and she's 11 and she loves storytelling and she thinks they're great.
Are there any top tips that you would give for people wanting to get involved in this kind of event? What would you suggest they do if they want to?
You mean if they wanted to attend or if they wanted to submit?
Oh, let's go for either. So do both. So if they wanted to submit, firstly, I know the deadline's gone for this one, hasn't it? But yeah, what would they do if they wanted to submit to your podcast competition?
I think the biggest thing for advice that I would give after to any writer in anything is just really work on your story. You know, the story, people get excited sometimes by the things that, you know, little ideas they have or bits of comedy or story elements. But the truth is, all of this storytelling in whatever format you do is not for you, but for an audience.
Mm.
And my advice to people wanting to go further is really think about that audience when you're writing, for whatever format you're writing, and be critical of your work, but from an audience perspective. And to do that, you've got to put your work in front of people. Let other people see it. You know, let other people read it.
Be brave.
Let other people, yeah, exactly. Be brave. You know, I mean, it's hard. Rejection is a big part of this industry, and it's just hard for people to take rejection at all. But you've got to do it in order to reach people.
Yeah.
You just do it. And so that's the big piece of advice I'd give for people writing their scripts, whatever format they're writing.
Mm.
But as far as coming, it would be to, you know, if somebody's going to make the investment to come here, it would be to come, be prepared to be, you know, tofu, you know, just to soak up everything and to not be an introvert, to be an extrovert.
That would scare some writers, wouldn't it? I'm certain of that.
They tend to be introverted people, you know. Even though it kills you to walk up to somebody and put out your hand and shake it and say, "Hi, my name is," you know. And that's something it's you'll get more the more you risk, you know.
Another chance is there to get some script feedback within sections of the festival.
We have a couple, particularly with the competition, when people submit, we do give feedback for everything.
Cool.
And so that's one way. But during the conference, the feedback is a little more, there's nothing really where people are giving, you know, specific feedback, because the panelists don't have the ability here to really look at people's one-on-one work.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest way that people get that is by finding people they're like-minded with at the festival. This is why we have so many people who come and come and come again, because they find friends through this that have the same end goal that they have and really care about giving them good advice, and that they feel comfortable giving their work to and letting them read it. And it's those friendships that we hear so much about every year, that people are like, "Oh my God, my whole posse of people I trust to look at my work met at the festival." Yeah, people are just open, you know, they're just, they want to help each other. That's the cool thing about writers. Writers are communal. They're not competitive. They may be competitive in the world of work, but we found them to be incredibly communal when they come here. They give advice, they help people. They know people were in the same spot as they were one day, you know, and if they see somebody who's talented, they want to champion them.
Yeah, a lot of audio drama podcast creators here are also actors as well as writers. Is there a possibility there to do table reads and that kind of thing, to sort of, for writers to have the chance to hear their scripts come to life at all? Or
so we do encourage people to do that on their own at the festival, and then we have a few that we read, as we read screenplays of some of the panelists allowed with actors on stage. We'll do three of those probably during the festival. We're talking right now about doing some podcasts that reach the finals. So I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing that. We have the space for it. We're just talking about how we're going to put it together, depending on how many make it up to that level. And we're going to do at least one play that comes through the playwriting competition. So there'll be some opportunities for sure.
Yeah, do let us know if you do that part, because I know that a lot of our listeners, well, all of them probably, would love to hear that.
Cool.
So where can people contact you and find out more information? Can you give us a website and Twitter and any social media?
I know they can find it on our website. It's austinfilmfestival.com. And I know our Twitter and Facebook are up there.
Mm-hmm.
I just personally don't have that. I don't even know how to tell you to get on Twitter.
Don't worry. No, people can find you. And there are buttons on your website as well, so they can just go there and link up. So,
and we can put that on our show notes, so anybody interested can link onto those quite quickly.
If they have questions about it, they can send those to info@austinfilmfestival.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, and all the very best with this year's festival. It sounds amazing.
Thank you. I hope y'all would be able to come in someday.
Yes, we'll hopefully get some of the audio drama production podcast listeners and creatives along. It'd be lovely to fathom if you're going. We send you our support. And yes, maybe one day we can join you. That'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A huge thanks to Barbara Morgan for her time there in telling us about the Austin Film Festival. That was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I could go. There must be somewhere I can get there. And I'm going to make it to Austin's house one day too. That sounded quite threatening, didn't it? I didn't mean it.
You know where he lives. Careful, Austin.
Yeah. Exciting.
If you would like to give any feedback about this interview or indeed about anything else, the slightly less creepy way to do it would be to email us at
podcasts@audiodramaproduction.com.
Lovely. And of course, if you want to know more about podcasting, thepodcasthost.com is the place to visit. And at the moment, there is a great article actually on sound storytelling, the art of making a fiction podcast, which is very useful actually to read up on before you then enter the competition next year in April. Yeah. It includes when and where to put your sound effects in. And it also covers tricky action scenes. I know this has come up very recently, actually, hasn't it, on the forums?
Yes.
Oh, no, not on the forums, on the Facebook group.
On the Facebook forums, yes.
Yeah. So do go along there to thepodcasthost.com and have a look at that article and the next article and the next and the next. Yeah, there's so much there. It is brilliant.
It's very exciting. And did you see, is that a police car out there? We will be back in a couple of weeks' time with another exciting adventure in children's audio. Fiona,
tell you what, Sarah, I'm going to make a bit of a move now, okay? Yeah. It's been so lovely working with you. It really, really has, but I cannot let them catch me alive. Bye-bye.
Where are you going? Fiona? Don't leave me. Come back. Fiona, we haven't told about the show notes to people to look on those for the... And the Alba Solix trailer. The Alba Solix trailer's happening next. And she's gone. Okay, I hope to see you in a couple of weeks to learn more about children's audio. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Happy creating, y'all. Bye.
Once upon a time, there lived a witch named Alba.
I'm afraid chiropractic isn't covered for centaurs.
Who had an apprentice called Magnus.
Your neighborhood is full of smug, smart-ass woodland creatures, and they all hate me.
And a fairy assistant named Holly.
The team that cares! The team that heals! Together!
And together, they tended to the king.
I will not live with snakes on my head.
The queen.
How dare you address me like that?
And all the people of the little kingdom of Farloria.
I want a test for fatsoplasia.
Alba, I think I have the plague!
The plague, you say?
Alba Salix, Royal Physician. A fairy tale comedy for the ear from Forgery League. Visit ForgeryLeague.com.
Just fill out this patient information form and Alba will see you in a minute.